You know, another way to think about it is that somebody's trying to do that yoga or that meditation or be mindful, and they keep failing and they keep failing. It might be because if their microbiome is off and sending the wrong signals, or sending the wrong signals to your stress response system, your adrenals, your whole HPA axis, that's basically throwing a monkey wrench into all the goodness that you're doing. So you do that practice and you get a certain level of benefit, but then you break it because you haven't controlled the sort of underlying biochemistry. And then you have to try again, and then it breaks, and try again, and it breaks. And so if you could get all that in balance, you could get a benefit and then build on that benefit and then build on that benefit. So you're not always starting from sort of square one.
Welcome to On the Verge. I am Kara Bradley, bringing you weekly blasts of no hype advice, essential practices and strategies to help you wake up, show up, and shine. This week, I bring you part three of a three-part webinar I ran called How to Be Mentally Fit in a Fast-Moving World. Today, we are joined by Dr. Sean Talbot. Dr. Sean is a stress expert. He's also a psychonutritionist, and he's going to talk to us about the gut-brain connection, stress, and the microbiome. Definitely want to tune into this one. Thanks for joining us. Almost there. We are almost ready. People are jumping on. Good to see you all, at least your names, that is. Feel free to jump on video if you're daring today and want to look straight at me. I can see you through the screen as well, but you don't have to. I totally get it. And we are going to get started here. It is 1 o'clock, and I like to be on time. One of the things that we always do at Verge Yoga for sure is start our classes on time. Because here's the deal, you all showed up on time. Thank you. I am coming to you today from sunny Florida. I am in Pompano Beach on vacation with my family and my mom. And we are here hanging on the beach today. It's been really windy, and we're super excited to be able to just sit in the sun for the rest of the day. So here we are, part three of How to Be Mentally Fit in a Fast-Moving World. I came up with this title for this webinar because I felt like, first of all, fitness, we all know what fitness is, right? We all can relate to being physically fit. But when it comes to our mental well-being, most of the time people are talking about mental health, mental illness. And I like to put the positive spin on life. And so I like to think of it as mental fitness or mental wellness. So how to be mentally fit in a fast-moving world? Here's the thing. We all know the world is not going to slow down for us. The world is not going to get less busy. So how do we navigate in the world feeling mentally fit? Or what we've been talking about in the last couple of weeks as having this idea or this notion of being, having this psychological vigor. And we are going to be joined later on with Dr. Sean Talbot. I'll tell you a little bit more about him in a bit, but let me tell you, you want to hang on for this call. Dr. Sean is he is a ball of energy. And he has so much experience in all the things that we've been talking about for the past 2 weeks when it comes to stress and cortisol and adrenal fatigue and burnout and psychological vigor. And how do we apply some best practices and strategies, not just the stuff that you read about on the newsfeed, right? That's really what I want to get under here. We don't want to just talk about the fluff. We want to talk about actually what can we do on a day-to-day basis, and most of it's free, to help us to really find our ground in this fast-moving world. So for the last couple of weeks, I've been sharing a lot. Oof, it's been kind of a little hard to be so vulnerable, to tell you the truth. But I had to do it. I had to tell you all that I had been diagnosed with adrenal fatigue. And I could say it now. One of the reasons why I put this webinar series on now is because I sold my business. I couldn't really come out of the closet, so to speak, and talk about my stress and this adrenal fatigue and this, you know, these chronic symptoms I had been experiencing as a yoga studio owner, right? Now, it wasn't just owning the yoga business that made me stressed, because honestly, it was not a super stressful business, but it was everything else. It was life. It was being a mother and being a wife and being a speaker and being an author and just living in the world that was just accumulating. So now that I can speak clearly and freely about it, now I feel like I can not just come at people as a teacher, but I can actually use myself as an example. And that's what I really am willing to do here. So what I want to start with today is this idea of being aware. It's the understanding that when we can name something and see it, it is the first step to changing it. When we can actually admit to ourselves what's going on in our lives or what we're feeling, what we're thinking, then it is the first big step to making change. So I want to talk a little bit about awareness, because I think that it will in a lot of ways kind of pull this all together that we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks. So awareness. We talk about, and you've probably tried, mindfulness or meditation, right? Mindfulness or meditation is the capacity to be aware moment to moment on purpose. So can we be aware of what's happening right now? So wherever you are, just notice for a moment what's happening in my surroundings, what's happening in my body, what am I hearing, what am I seeing, what am I tasting or smelling, right? So when we can become aware, this is very obvious, we can become more intelligent or more informed as to what's happening. Now, awareness has many different layers and many different levels. Most people talk about mental awareness. When we talk about stress and we bring in mindfulness and you hear, get on an app, you know, try mindfulness every day. We talked about this in the last couple of episodes here. Finding stillness, having some silence helps us to be more aware, right? So the first level of awareness that I want to talk about is just mental awareness, being aware of the thoughts that you're thinking all day long. And when we start to become aware of our thoughts, like, oh, that was a judgment. Oh, I'm wondering what they're thinking about me, little kind of being a little self, self-absorbed or conscious, self-conscious, right? Oops, maybe I'm saying the wrong thing, a little doubt in my mind. When we can start to notice our thoughts, we become more mentally aware of our habitual patterns, right? This is really important because we have patterns upon patterns upon patterns in our lives. You can call them conditions, you can call them habits, but we accumulate them. Like we accumulate stuff. We accumulate these patterns based on life experience, on what happened or didn't happen, how we were raised or weren't raised, what we had or didn't have. And so when we become more aware, we can become more intelligent about our patterns. And as I said before, once we become aware, it's the first step to making change in our lives. The second level of awareness, if we think about starting up at the mind and then kind of just dropping down a bit, is emotional awareness or emotional intelligence, right? I know some of you on the call are versed in emotional intelligence. My daughter
is studies. She's a researcher of emotional intelligence. And that's really about just becoming aware of what we're feeling in this moment. And when we become more subtly aware of emotions, we can become much more intelligent about how we react in the world or in a relationship. For example, instead of just saying, I'm angry and I'm pissed off and I can't believe this is happening to me again, when you become more emotionally intelligent or aware, you can become more subtle in your description of your feeling. So instead of being pissed off, you may actually be able to say, you know what? I'm just really disappointed. Or this is bringing up some sadness for me. It reminds me of when this happened when I was a child. So that's our emotional awareness. Dropping down even more, we can become aware of our senses, sensory awareness. I often call this living in high definition, when what you see is clearer, what you hear is more crisp, what you're tasting feels more vivid, what you're smelling is more pronounced, or what you're feeling, you know, on your skin, in your body, is more vibrant, like the goosebumps or the warmth or the heat or the coolness. So our sensory awareness is also part of this equation. Now I'm going to take us outside our body for a moment, and we've got a couple of other types of awareness. We have proprioceptive awareness, and that is our understanding or awareness of our body in space. So for example, when I was younger, I was a klutz, right? They used to call me Carolyn, because that was my birth name, Carolyn the Klutz. I always had scabs on my knees and my elbows. I was always bumping into stuff. I was always spilling stuff at the dinner table. I wasn't really aware of my body in space. As a yoga teacher for many years, I have helped people increase their proprioceptive awareness, their ability to feel their body in space. Okay? Stay with me here. We're moving out. Now, there's interpersonal awareness, and that is our capacity to understand and be aware of what's happening when you're talking to somebody, when you're engaging with them. Maybe it's also with an animal or with a plant, right? We can increase our interpersonal awareness. All right, so we've got a bunch of levels of awareness here. I'm going to drop down now. Now we're going to get into kind of the point of this all. We can drop down into something called interoceptive awareness. Interoceptive awareness is our capacity to feel what we're feeling deep inside our body. For instance, when you are getting ready to do a presentation, just like I was just getting ready to come on live with you, and I feel a little bit of jittery in my belly, right? A little bit of those butterflies. That's interoceptive awareness. I'm noticing shifts in my body based on what's happening in the moment. Or you may feel your heart start to race, you know, when you're going on a blind date, perhaps. Or you feel your breath getting shallow when your boss calls you into her office, right? So all of these interoceptive awareness notifications, if you will, allow us to be able to read our body, right? So this has been the area that I have been really interested in for my entire career. How can we get and become more aware moment to moment, not just of thoughts or emotions or sensations or my body in space, or how I am feeling in a relationship, but how can we become more aware of this intelligence that is always speaking to us through our deep, deep bodily sensations? So this has been my real inquiry and my area of not only study, but how I like to teach people is from the level of the nervous system. How can we become more intelligent about what's happening at the level of our nervous system? Are we stressed at this moment? Are we relaxed at this moment? And then all of the degrees in between that. What I recently learned after all these years of studying meditation, yoga, deep, deep mental practices, and breath practices, and all this stuff that was going to help me and others become more aware at the interoceptive awareness at level, what I have recently learned is that there is a whole nother area of discussion, if you will, that our body, in a way that our body is communicating to us, and it's below the level of the nervous system. And actually, there's a whole nother nervous system that I'm going to ask Sean to talk about in a moment called our enteric nervous system. So a few months ago, actually it was about 6 or 7 months ago, my husband and I, Brian and I, were driving cross country and we were in flow. And Sean and I will talk about flow as well. But we were in flow, we were traveling through Utah. We didn't have much of a plan. I think in the 7 weeks of our travel, we had 3 dates on the calendar. So we knew we had to be in certain places on 3 dates. The rest, we were just kind of going with it. Well, a friend of mine called. She asked me to look at, she wanted me to take a look at a website about a mental wellness company called Amari. And being a mental performance coach and a mental strength coach for athletes and executives for a long time, she thought I'd have some insight into this company. And as soon as I took a look at it and learned about their focus on mental wellness and gut-brain health, I was intrigued. Well, a few days later, we ended up in California with absolutely no plan to do that. Before this phone call, we ended up in California. Brian and I drove out and we listened to this book called The Gut-Mind Connection by Dr. Amryn Mayer. We listened to it. We wanted to become a little more versed in the people that we were about to meet. We were going out to meet all of the senior executives and the CEO of Amari. We were driving out there saying, we have no idea what we are doing. Well, we show up at this dinner and I take a seat. There are about 12 of us at the table and I sit right next to Dr. Sean Talbot. And I didn't know Sean. I didn't know really what he did. And we started talking and honestly, we haven't stopped. It was immediate love affair. I'm saying that, Sean, as you come on, because we have so many common interests in optimal performance, in how to perform at our highest level in our from our physical perspective and our mind perspective. So I wanted to give you that little drum roll because Dr. Sean is on with us right now, and I'm just so grateful that you're here, Sean. I just want to say, I'm going to say a couple of things about Sean, and we're going to put Sean's full bio in the chat bar because it takes half of this webinar to go through it all. But Sean is a psychonutritionist, which is a relatively new term, which is so exciting. I think of Sean as just an incredible wealth of knowledge when it comes to stress and optimal performance, which has really been my focus for the last few years. He's also the chief science officer for Amari Global. So, Sean, thank you so much for joining us. We're super excited to have you.
Yeah, my pleasure, Cara. Thanks for having me on.
We have been talking for the last couple of weeks, Sean, about stress. And I'm going to tell you that I have recently come out of the closet to reveal that last year I was diagnosed with adrenal fatigue, too. And that was January. It was about 6 months before I really dove into gut-brain health. And really, it was my shift in starting to modulate my microbiome, in starting to take care of my own gut, that was the gateway that helped me to realize what all of the symptoms that I had been feeling. So I'd love for you, if you could, because I've listened to a bunch of your stuff just recently, if you could tell us a little bit about some of the different levels of stress, such as chronic stress, adrenal fatigue, autoimmune, and your kind of run-of-the-mill stress that most people experience.
Yeah, sure. So you know, the field has changed a lot in the last 20 years. I've been doing this kind of work for about 20 years. That's when my first book about stress and cortisol came out, sort of, you know, came out in 2002. So, you know, I wrote it in kind of 2000, 2001. And back then, we knew there was a lot of stress in the world. We knew there was a difference between acute stress, which humans actually do pretty okay with, you know, a stress that comes and stays there for a little while and then goes away, and then comes again and then goes away. But we don't do very well with chronic stress. And so we knew the difference between, you know, sort of stress, good stress, and bad stress, chronic stress, because chronic stress gets you into this state of chronic sort of medium cortisol exposure. And that can be really, really detrimental. It's bad for your brain. It's bad for your belly fat. It's bad for your immune system. It's bad for your muscles. It's bad for everything, right? It destroys your mood, et cetera, et cetera. And so back in those days, you know, we could show a very clear link between, okay, here's stress, and that stress can lead to anxiety, and that anxiety can lead to depression, and that depression can lead to burnout is kind of analogous to adrenal fatigue and adrenal insufficiency and things like that. But then 20 years ago, we would say, okay, you know, we can see these changes happening. Let's focus on the adrenals. And then that was a, you know, the most logical approach. You know, a lot of people got better. We could get the adrenals to sort of come back to life and produce cortisol when they needed to, and not produce it, you know, chronically, you know, over time. So you could reduce your overall cortisol exposure, and people got better. Fatigue levels, you know, went away. Brain fog went away. Muscle mass came back. Belly fat went down, like all the things you would expect. But I would say, like, back then, you know, looking back at it now, we were only getting maybe 50%, you know, of the efficacy that we can get today. Maybe 60, maybe 70% of the effectiveness we can get today. And that's because today we can look at a completely different level of what actually modulates the stress response in the body, and it's the gut. You know, so the gut, I think a lot of people would not have any idea that it has any bearing whatsoever on your stress levels, or your ability to be resilient, or your mood, or your energy levels, or how your brain and your head functions, or any of that kind of stuff. But back then we couldn't measure a lot of things we can measure now. So that's the one thing I love about science, is that it's always, always progressing. And we always have to sort of be a student of, you know, what the next big thing is. And the big thing now is, you mentioned it just a few minutes ago, whether we call it this mind-gut connection, or the way I refer to it as the gut-brain axis, it's absolutely huge. I don't think it's an overstatement to say what's happening in the gut, and specifically what's happening in the gut bacteria, the microbiome, it's fundamentally changing how we think about human health, human performance, you know, achieving your best self, you know, all that kind of stuff is really stemming from what we're learning about the gut.
So I'm curious, if I was diagnosed with adrenal fatigue 20 years ago, what would the protocol be?
Well, 20 years ago, it would be things like, you know, getting better sleep, reducing your stress load, you know, the things that are sort of coming in, trying to increase your level of stress resilience, right? So if you can't reduce the input, can you amplify your ability to deal with that? And those are still viable techniques now, right? We still recommend those kinds of things now. But now we can also go to the level of the gut and say, you know what? There are bacteria in your gut that will send signals to your brain to tell you how stressed out you are or not, that will send signals to your adrenal glands to change their sensitivity, that will send signals to your pancreas to change how we control our blood sugar levels. And all of that is related back to your ability to be stress resilient or not stress resilient. So it's sort of like having another tool in the toolbox. We're still trying to manage this whole stress response system, but now it's like we discovered this whole new organ that has a lot of input on how resilient or not we're going to be in the first place.
Yeah, and that was the big light bulb for me. So I kind of wear two hats, right? This is my personal story, but also professionally, I've spent the last couple of decades teaching practices, physical, mental practices to help people become more stress resilient, manage stress, become more aware. And then, so it was like the first 2 weeks that I learned about the gut-brain connection, it was like, oh my God, it was like Pandora's box opened up and I realized I've been trying to help people become more mindful or more physically aware. And there could be just obstacles in the way of them ever actually feeling that kind of psychological vigor that you talk about because of the dysbiosis or imbalance in the gut.
Right, exactly. And that's it. That's a great way to describe it, what you just said, because, you know, it's not like, you know, when people hear me talk about the biochemistry of stress or the biochemistry of what's happening in the microbiome, I think people are expecting me to say like, hey, forget about that mindfulness stuff, forget about the stress management, forget about, you know, all the things that we've been doing with yoga and with gratitude and all that kind of stuff. I say, no, those are still important. What I'm talking about is that if you can get this biochemistry right, those techniques, those practices are actually going to become more effective. They're going to gain more traction. And so that's why I think that what we're learning, you know, scientifically about this microbiome, about the gut-brain axis is really just going to help some of those like proven techniques become more proven and more effective and more sort of doable for the average person. You know, they'll yield more benefits. Let's put it that way.
That's what's so exciting for me as a teacher of all this is that I can actually help people become more proficient at using these practices instead of feeling like a failure all the time, because most people feel like a failure. I can't meditate. I can't do this. I can't do that.
Right. Exactly. And, you know, if you can, you know, another way to think about it is like somebody's trying to do that yoga or that meditation or be mindful and they keep failing. It might be because if their microbiome is often sending the wrong signals or sending the wrong signals to your stress response system, your adrenals, your whole HPA axis, that's basically throwing a monkey wrench into all the goodness that you're doing. So you do that practice and you get a certain level of benefit, but then you break it because you haven't controlled the sort of underlying biochemistry. And then you have to try again and then it breaks and try again and it breaks. And so if you could get all that in balance, you could get a benefit and then build on that benefit and then build on that benefit. So you're not always starting from sort of square one.
Yeah, that's a great way of putting it. So I'd like to just bring in my story back in because I've been using myself as an example in these last couple of weeks. So I had been, as I said, diagnosed with adrenal fatigue too. Took some supplements in January, February, March. Maybe I felt a little better. I wasn't really that committed, to be honest with you. Then in July, I start on these Amari products, which are focused on mental wellness. And within the first week, I felt this brain fog lift. Now, I didn't even know that I had brain fog.
Right, exactly. That's a very common way for people to say it. Like, I didn't even know I had these problems until they went away.
Right. So the brain fog lifts, my mood gets so much better. I find myself humming and singing, and I'm like, what is going on? Right. I have more energy. I'm sleeping better. And this is all within a few weeks of starting on the fundamentals. And so now I'm able to be more aware, which is what I was talking about in the beginning of our call today. Now my awareness is heightened. Now I'm like, oh my gosh, I had adrenal fatigue. Oh my gosh, I've been so stressed, but I couldn't tell because the stress is like an invisible gas or actually just it's like a shield. It wasn't allowing me to actually get to it because I was just so confused mentally.
Right, exactly. You just used a word. I don't know if you did it on purpose or it just came out of your mouth, but you said mental awareness. That's precisely what we're doing here. Whenever we talk about mental wellness, right, and all the things that we're talking about here, your energy and focus and, resilience and all that kind of stuff, they all fall under the umbrella of what I refer to as mental wellness. A lot of times, though, when I say mental wellness, people kind of hear in their heads mental illness. They think that all we're talking about is depression and anxiety and that kind of stuff. And the kinds of principles we're talking about can absolutely help those kinds of people. But a lot of times it's people who are these higher performers, the higher achievers that have been going, and they lose that awareness. They lose that ability to sense what's going on in their body. So they get a little bit of brain fog and they push through. They get a little bit of fatigue, they push through. They're not getting good sleep and they push through.
That's
and
me.
Finally they get to a what's that?
That was me.
Yeah. And you get to a point where you're just like, well, yeah, I'm just, I'm a hard charger and I'm just going to keep driving through. And you get accustomed to that feeling of just being kind of, not at your best, but you're going to push through and you're going to rise above and stuff. And if you can get that, mental fitness back, that mental awareness back, the brain fog lifts, your fatigue comes back, you're more resilient, you're more calm when you need to be. And you literally, people say it all the time, exactly what you just said. They go, oh my gosh, I didn't even know I had a thing until that thing, was alleviated. And now I'm back to 100%, where, you were doing pretty darn good at 80% because, you're that high achiever. Your 80% is better than a lot of people's 100%. But now that you're back to 100%, you're off to the races again. So,
right. And what was really amazing for me, and what I'd like you to talk about as well, is how do we modulate or rebalance our microbiome? But what was so amazing for me, it's like a layer. It's been this unlayering where as I continue to become clearer and calmer and sharper and more energized, I've been making these major shifts in my life that I haven't done in decades, just as far as food choice and the way I'm moving my body, my sleep hygiene, the way I spend time in nature. It's like this cascading effect and I think I talked about in our first episode here, was like, it's like a domino effect.
Yes. Yeah. That's exactly what it is. And that's one thing that we see all the time. We even see it in our research trials, when we're actually measuring psychological mood state in people, we'll see their whole, their whole future of goals change because they're getting better and better and better and better. Like things that they start to want to achieve at, 12 weeks out are things that at week zero, they wouldn't even have contemplated because it wasn't even in their universe of possibilities. But when you see them getting a little bit better week by week by week, that cascading effect or domino effect or ripple effect, whatever you want to call it, it's really, really cool to see, but we see it all the time. And it comes from, it's not like, this microbiome is the new secret sauce. It's just the latest layer that science has uncovered, So like, a lot of times I'm trying to explain to people that, if you're not sort of firing on all cylinders, it very well might be your neurotransmitters in your head. And there's things we can do for that. But you know what? There's things underlying that can, once we balance that, then we need to look at your inflammation. Then we need to look at your immune system. Then we need to look at your gut integrity. Then we need to look at your microbiome. And somewhere in there is the cortisols and the endocrine, balance of your hormones and things like that. But it's this idea of this sort of stepwise progression. And if you can get all of that balanced simultaneously through natural means, which is eating right and supplementing right and sleeping, and once you get that whole cascade balance, I mean, it's almost a magical effect for people to experience, but it's very, very science-based because we're doing it in a very sort of like almost therapeutic fashion these days.
Yeah, that's great. And so what we've been talking about on this webinar called How to Be Mentally Fit in a Fast-Moving World, we've talked about movement, obviously blood flow. We've talked about brain training and silence and stillness and taking time to pause. We've also talked about sleep, and we're going to talk a little bit more about sleep later. play, making sure there's enough play in your life, and then being out in nature. And then there's that other piece, which is why you're here, is the microbiome, is that other tool, like you were saying, on the tool belt. So how does one go about balancing their microbiome?
First of all, people have to realize that, you know, that most of us have a dysfunctional or a dysbiotic, unbalanced microbiome. You know, as soon as I start talking about gut issues, I'll get people who will say, oh, well, I don't have any gut issues. And everybody has gut issues. You know, that's what I want people to understand. You don't have to have a stomach ache. You don't have to have digestive issues like gas and bloating and things like that in order to have a problem in your stomach. When I say stomach, I mean your entire gastrointestinal tract. So, you know, most people need some level of rebalancing in their microbiome. And there's some really easy ways to do it. You know, we talk to people about eating fermented foods, yogurts and kefirs and kimchis and kombuchas and things like that. We tell people to eat more fiber. That's probably the number one thing that people can do for a healthy microbiome is eat more whole, non-processed, high fiber, brightly colored fruits and vegetables, right? And that's going to do a lot of things. It's going to give you fiber. It's going to give you phytonutrients. If you're eating that, you're not eating chips and cupcakes and things like that. So you're not eating a lot of sugar and a lot of processed foods. So those are things that we can do sort of generally to give you a healthy microbiome. That's telling people, you know, get 8 hours of sleep or, you know, be more physically active, right? Very, very general recommendations. But then we've actually learned in the last probably 5 years, we've learned what specific bacteria that we can supplement with. You know, we've discovered specific probiotic bacteria that can have, you know, a mood boosting effect or a calming effect or an anti-stress effect. So we can actually very precisely say, look, we're going to give you these to help with your stress resilience or whatever the case may be. Then we can, you know, once we give those, we can give you specific fibers that feed each one of those strains of bacteria. So, you know, these are kinds of things that we couldn't do 5 years ago. All we could do is say, eat your yogurt and get more fiber in your diet and things like that. But now we can get a little bit more precise.
So, and those bacteria, we can't get that. I mean, can we get that in our food?
No, not these specific strains. That's the thing that makes it challenging is that, you know, we could add them, I guess, to a yogurt. We could add them to, you know, a functional food. But a lot of times it's better to just supplement with them, right? Because we can put them in a capsule, we can put them in a powder, you can put that powder into a smoothie, and you can get that very, very targeted sort of an effect. And that's it, you know, I don't want to get too much into the weeds here, but the idea that we refer to is called strain specificity, that certain strains of bacteria will do certain benefits. As little as 10 years ago, we would just tell people, yeah, get more lactobacillus, get more bifidobacterium. It was still just very, very general. That, like, me saying that is like me saying, make sure you get your vitamins. You know, it's the same sort of thing. But, you know, what does that mean? That doesn't give anybody the precision, the detail to go out there and say, oh, I need this particular one for that particular benefit. We're at that point now where we can say this bacteria is for your immune system, that bacteria is for your depression, right? We're able to go to that, you know, to that level now. And they have to be supplemented. And if you get the let me just say this. If you get the right microbiome structure, the right level of good bacteria and the right level of bad bacteria, it's like having an internal pharmacy. You know, so it's not like we're taking these bacteria as natural pharmaceuticals. It's not really that. It's taking them so that we can change the structure and the metabolism of your onboard software, so to speak, so that it can start producing the compounds that you need when you need them. So most of our serotonin, the neurotransmitter that helps us be happy, that comes from our microbiome. Somewhere around 90-95% of our serotonin is made by our microbiome. Most of our dopamine, around 70%, the neurotransmitter that helps us with motivation, comes from our microbiome. So if we wanna have the best natural production of those performance neurotransmitters, we need to have the right microbiome. And we can very precisely modulate it so that it's producing what we want when we want it.
Thank you. It continues to blow my mind every time I hear it. And For me, the big paradigm shift was when I really started to experience this myself, I realized, oh my gosh, there is no amount of yoga that I can do that's going to have this effect on my overall well-being. There's no amount of meditation. And, you know, both again, professionally and personally, I'm thinking, you know, I can hone my skills as a teacher and a performance coach, but it is not going to ever get somebody over the hump like, over the hump if they are experiencing, you know, the dysbiosis or the imbalances in the system. And that for me was enough of a motivator to really get me just, you know, it was like rocket fuel, Sean. It was just, I was like, I have to know everything about this personally and professionally, because As a teacher of practices, sometimes I feel like I'm spinning my wheels. Like as anybody listening, I can't get through what is going on, you know? And I was experiencing this myself at the same time. So it's so exciting. So just if you can, before we close, can you tell us a little bit about what you're doing with Amari and how Amari is really just leading the way of this mental wellness revolution?
Yeah. So Amari is the first company that's ever decided to just focus on these mental wellness issues, right? So, you know, whether it's depression, anxiety, or it's just people feeling sort of blah and, you know, kind of fatigued in the day and kind of tense and irritable at night and just not great. Or it's people like what you describe, you know, what we would call the high end of the mental wellness continuum that are high achievers, hard chargers, and then become burned out. You know, develop that adrenal fatigue, you know, whatever level of mental wellness you want to achieve, we want to be able to focus on that. And so our whole company, Amare, is focused 100% on mental wellness. So sometimes we're doing things in the brain in your head. Sometimes we're doing things in the brain in your gut, your second brain. Sometimes we're modulating the signals that are coming out of your third brain, which is what we call the heart. Sometimes we're modulating your immune system activity, because that's one of the major ways that your three brains talk to each other and communicate. So everything that we do, every single one of these supplements that we've developed, every single one of these functional foods comes back to improving how we feel and how we perform by improving mental fitness or mental wellness or mental awareness or whatever slice of that puzzle. We want people to feel their best, because if they can feel their best, they're gonna make better choices in their lifestyle. They're gonna choose better diets. They're gonna have more energy to be physically active. They're gonna have lower stress levels so they can get good quality of sleep. That's the ripple effect that I talked about earlier. And it all starts with people feeling better. So, you know, we're improving all aspects of health and performance by helping people feel better first.
Well, thank you. And thank you for all the work that you've done on stress and on the opposite of burnouts, this psychological vigor, which we talked about last week, by the way. So everybody listening has heard about the psychological vigor. And I am so excited. You know, it's absolutely changed my life, is really having an understanding that even the food that I put in my body is feeding the bacteria in my body, as opposed to just, you know, I'm looking at food very differently these days, thinking about the bacteria that it's feeding or not feeding.
Yeah, a lot of the foods that we consider to be healthy for us is actually healthy for us because it's healthy for the bacteria. And if we grow the right bacteria, they'll produce the right signaling compounds that help us feel and perform the way that we want to feel. So it's sort of an indirect effect. It's good for us because it's good for them.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, do you have just a couple of minutes for questions? I think a couple of people would like to jump on. So Brian, you can unmute them, or if maybe they're just in the chat bar. Let's see what we have. Anybody there? Well, let's just give them there we go. Okay, Julie's on.
Dr. Talbot, how are you?
Hey, I'm great. How are you doing?
Great. I have a question for you, and this might be too specific a question for this group setting, but I've been taking Amari, but the kids version, mm-hmm. since January, And I wondered if you find that an effective approach, or do you think kids should do kids and adults should do adults?
No, I think they can actually be used pretty interchangeably. You know, in fact, okay. for the first year that we had the adult fundamentals out, we had thousands and thousands of parents around the country that were giving, you know, that to their kids at just a half a dose. You know, so that's one of the reasons that we came out with the kids product, to try to make it easier and flavored and, you know, sort of an all-in-one instead of three products and things like that. So I think that, you know, kids can use the adults, especially if they're bigger kids, you know, and, you know, they're over 100 pounds and stuff like that. But I also know a lot of adults that just take the kids fundamentals and the kids Vita GBX and the kids mood because they taste good, they're convenient, they're easy. They, you know, some people don't like pills, and all the kids products are either powders or chewables. So I think they can be used interchangeably. I use the kids mood product almost every afternoon. I take the adult mood product in the morning with my fundamentals. And then if I need something else in the afternoon to sort of keep me on task and, you know, help me get through whatever stresses are going on that day, I'll just rip one open and dump it in my mouth. And, you know, it works through a different mechanism. So I think it's very complementary.
So do you have to double up the powder for kids?
Not necessarily. And that's something you'll have to play with. So let's say you're an adult and you're interested in using the kids products for whatever reason. Just start with using it once a day, once in the morning, like as directed. And then if you feel like you need, you know, more of a benefit, you could either double dose in the morning or you could take a second dose in the afternoon. And that's going to be a very individualized difference.
And that's just the powder, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. And maybe I'll reach out to your staff to see what, you know, because I'm just doing the powder and I wonder maybe, you know, maybe like you talked about that specificity, and I'm assuming you guys choose which products to use based on individual symptomatology. Is that correct?
Kind of. So, in our clinical trials that we'll do, we'll measure microbiome and we'll be able to track microbiome changes over time. What we're trying to do, whether it's kids fundamentals or adult fundamentals, we know what a healthy microbiome pattern looks like, microbiome pattern that's associated with better mental wellness, right? Lower stress levels, better resilience, better mood, better focus, all that kind of stuff. We know what that pattern of microbiome structure looks like. So what we're trying to do is push everybody kind of towards that pattern. And it's the same for kids. It's the same for adults. And so the same strains of bacteria are used in the kids and the adults products, the same prebiotic fibers. They're virtually the same structure of product because we're trying to get everybody to that same structure of microbiome, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So a little less specific, but more, you know, it's like the biome setting, the whole gut kind of setting is generalized, describe, you know, that you're trying to push the whole thing that away. And yeah. Then maybe from there, you fool around with individual needs.
That's exactly what it is. Once we establish that new healthier pattern for everybody, then that, you know, then somebody can say, okay, I'm at this better pattern and I do feel better, but you know, maybe I'm only 80% of where I want to be. Maybe I can use an energy product. Maybe I can use a sleep product. Maybe I can use a multivitamin to get me the rest of that way. And that's where the customization and personalization comes in, by figuring out what that regimen looks like for each person.
Okay, thank you.
Great. You're welcome.
Great, thank you, Julie. We have one more question from Lauren. What type of testing are you doing? Blood, urine, stool, what are the most important biomarkers that you look for?
Yeah, that's a good question, because we measure all of that in our studies. You know, people will sometimes hear me, you know, I'll show some of my data and, you know, we can show microbiome changes and, you know, how the lactobacillus goes up and the bifidobacterium goes up and the E. coli go down and all that kind of stuff. And then we'll show our mood state parameters, which are, when we're measuring like psychology, they're typically validated surveys and questionnaires and things like that people are filling out. And then we're measuring, you know, in the blood, we're measuring inflammatory markers. In the urine, we might be measuring antioxidant markers. In the saliva, we might be measuring certain hormones, you know. So, you know, we're doing all that stuff and people are like, wow, your work is really fascinating. And then they'll ask a question like Lauren asked, like, well, how do you actually measure that? Like, well, we take a poop sample to measure your microbiome. We take a spit sample to measure your cortisol. We take a blood sample and a urine sample. And then they go, well, your work is not as glamorous as I thought it was. You know, that doesn't sound like very much fun, but there isn't really a most important marker. They're all really important for their particular parameter that we're looking at. But what we're really trying to do with our latest work is trying to correlate all those markers together. So if we could measure your microbiome, we might be able to predict what your mood is going to do. And if we know what your mood is, we might be able to predict what your stress hormones are. So the correlations between all of those, I think, are what are becoming particularly exciting, because, you know, someday we might be able to just send in a microbiome sample, and from that we'll be able to tell what everything else is going to do, you know, sort of chain of events kind of a thing. We're not quite there yet. That's why we're doing all the work that we're doing, but they're all important in their own special way.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Dr. Sean. It's an exciting time to be in the mental wellness space, because it's all so new. And I, you know, you think about 10 years from now, we're going to look back, and it's going to be amazing the roadmap that's been laid out just based on the science, the research, and also our own testimonials and what we're all feeling.
Right, exactly. It's an exciting time. Like, you know, mental wellness used to only be about depression and anxiety, and now you can see it's just exploding into all these other areas where people want to talk about it and people want to make it better. And once you get better, you want to help somebody else get better. It's a really, really cool space.
Awesome. Well, fantastic. Well, thanks for joining us, Dr. Sean. We're going to let you go and go on your merry way. And everybody else, just stay on for a few more minutes.
My pleasure. Thanks, you guys. Thanks for letting me join you. Have a nice day. Bye-bye.
All right. Well, a wealth of information. We could have gone on for a lot more time, but I do want to close this up for you all. What is really exciting, and honestly, what I said before about it was my finally getting to the point where I had become more balanced in my microbiome, that was the gateway for me to really look back at the stress that I was living in. I was able to look back and realize, oh my gosh, I haven't been sleeping. I've got weight gain around my belly. My muscles, I feel weaker than ever. Like, what is going on? I thought it was just turning, you know, 55 or 54 that did it all, you know, did me in. But now I realize that, you know, I just wasn't aware of everything that was happening because there was this static in the gut-brain connection. So it's why I'm so passionate. And I hope that you can hear that in my voice. I don't want to just help people meditate or train their mind or practice yoga anymore. I actually want to bring them all the way there. And that includes, you know, better sleep and being in nature and more play, moving your body. Yes, definitely, you know, finding those mental practices, but also including this tool that we're stumbling upon now that will be, you know, absolutely what we're talking about for the next 10 to 20 years is how do we balance at the microbiome level, right? We talked about all those levels of awareness. How do we balance at the microbiome level so that we can have that domino effect in our mental wellness and our mental fitness? So, going forward, I am excited to continue this conversation. And I think what's going to happen in about a month, so probably in early April, by the way, April is National Stress Awareness Month. So what will happen in April is I'm going to do probably a 6-week course that you can join me on. And together, we're going to look at all of these aspects of daily practice and daily balancing from the inside out, all these different levels of awareness. We're going to be talking about them. We're going to be practicing together. And so I will have information coming out shortly on that, but I don't have it for you now. What I would say is let me know a couple things right in the chat. And if not, just DM me on social media or email me, Kara@KaraBradley.net. Just say yes, put me on the list, put me on the wait list, or I want to learn more about Amari. I want to learn more about what you've experienced.
let's do this together. It's so much more fun to play together in this space than to sit in silence and suffer in silence, as we've said for a while. Let's do this together and find a way to become mentally well. And what happens then is that you're going to want to share it with others. You're going to want to tell others about it, your family, your friends, your kids, your parents, your coworkers. You're going to want to share what you're experiencing, just like I've just had the courage or found the courage to finally say, listen, I was underwater, guys, for a while. I didn't realize it, but I was, you know, pulling myself away from friends and family. I was spending more time alone. I was not sleeping. I was cranky. I was not feeling motivated in my workouts. I felt like I, you know, is this depression? I don't know. And it wasn't until I started to balance my biochemistry, that lifted the brain fog. And it allowed me to then assess all these different areas and make changes. And I feel so much better. I feel so much better is that I want to share it with you all. So a couple of last things to close this up. Dr. Sean has a new book coming out called Whole Vigor, right? Like psychological vigor, Whole Vigor. Discover how to maximize mood, motivation, and mental wellness. You can find out a lot more about what Sean's doing by reaching out to me, just saying, yes, send me more information. I'll tell you what I'm doing with Amari. I'll tell you exactly what I'm doing and how it's helping me. And then also, if you'd like to be on the wait list for this upcoming course at the beginning of April that I'm excited about, because I'm going to be doing this 100% of the way with you all, just let me know that as well. I'll send all this stuff out in an email if you've joined in. Thank you for taking the time out of your busy life, for your encouragement, for your just your support in giving me the confidence to do this. Because, you know, anytime you step behind a mic like this, there's always that little voice in your head. But your energy and your enthusiasm has fueled me. And for that, I say thank you, and namaste. We'll see you soon. Take care. Hey, thanks for tuning in to this webinar series. I look forward to hearing from you. Find me on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, DM me. Let's get a conversation going. You can always reach out, Kara@KaraBradley.net. I appreciate your engagement. I hope you learned something. I hope you learned something about yourself and your microbiome during this 3-part series. And I look forward to chatting with you soon. Take care.